Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics from a little midweek Premier League action. Arsenal finally end their winless run against the continually disappointing Chelsea. Man City respond the next day with a 3-0 victory over West Ham, and Erling Haaland becomes a record goal scorer in a Premier League season with his 35th of this season, plus another important victory for Liverpool over Fulham. Luke Shaw's stoppage time penalty gives Brighton a late win over Manchester United. And welcome back to the Premier League, Sam Allardyce. Can he keep Leeds up? That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
Right, Musty, before we get to the midweek action, don't forget the Premier League is coming to the US and coming soon this summer for the first ever pre-season tournament. Aston Villa, Brentford, Brighton, Chelsea, Fulham and Newcastle will play in Atlanta, Harrison, New York, Orlando, Philadelphia and Maryland. The action kicks off July the 22nd. Tickets now on sale, so head over to www.premierleague.com/summer-series for ticket information, all the information about the games, and we'll be there as the NBC team going through those matches and meeting up with some of the players and coaches. So great opportunity to get close to the Premier League. If you're on the East Coast, make sure you get to one of those games. Click on the link and get the ticket information. Okay, my friend, let's start our football information at the Emirates. Let's start at the Emirates. That was the first game of the midweek, Tuesday night. Yep. Arsenal facing Chelsea in a big London derby. We know that actually both of these teams didn't come in great form. Arsenal winless, I think it was, in three or four before this game. Chelsea, as we know, under Frank Lampard, things haven't gone as would like. Did we expect a more competitive, a closer game, Rob? Or did we kind of get... Would Chelsea fans have feared this might have happened?
They probably would have feared it, Rob. Even so, we have had to have expected a closer game than that, a more competitive game than that, given the fact that Arsenal have wobbled a little bit recently.
Yeah.
Defensively, they haven't been strong. They made some changes. You know, I think with this season's Arsenal, they've been so, so good. It isn't a bad time to play them right now, given what they've been through. But, you know, maybe we'll definitely get onto Chelsea, Rob, but it wasn't that way. And Arsenal were somewhat back to their best with their football. I know we both felt it was important. Is the belief still there? Is the confidence still there? I know I felt strongly that they've got to get back to winning ways. They can't let this season peter out in a real disappointment. It's got to be remembered as a blip. They couldn't produce the stuff when they really needed it. But we know that they got back on form, Rob, and started winning games and started playing some great football. So from that side of it, it worked. From the substitutes and the changes that Mikel Arteta made, it worked. And Martin Odegaard worked. And it was a comfortable day with the opponents, Chelsea, and just what Arsenal needed.
Yeah, I think before the game, we were both in studio, weren't we? And you know, I said, you know, with five games for Arsenal left, they were on 75 points before this match. They've got to win out, Rob. Win out. I know Newcastle away is a tough one.
Yeah.
But win out, get the 15 points, get to 90 points. I think that was the same number they had when the Invincible season. But push City as hard as they can, because my sort of comparison was Liverpool. And Liverpool probably, in other eras, would have won more than the one Premier League title. But it was just the relentless way that City either clawed them back or stayed on top. But I don't think there was too many regrets in Liverpool's attempts, Rob, because I thought Liverpool give it everything. I think they wrang every last bit of sweat out, every last press they could. And guess what? The other team were better. Somehow they got goals. Somehow they found ways. And I just want this Arsenal team at the end of the season, regardless of what happens, and it certainly looks more like it's in City's favour now than Arsenal's, But I want them to get to those 90 points and go, you know what, we had that blip, but we came again and we pushed them again and we kept seeing what could happen. And listen, it's a Premier League and you just never know. And I just feel for themselves and for maybe starting next season, Rob, and feeling like we've taken a step forward. Five straight wins at the end of this season would put them in a really good place to say, okay, now we've learned from some things. We maybe got some better players, depth in our squad, and we go again.
Mm. You know, just some of the changes, Rob, just cutting to the chase on some of the new guys at a chance, and particularly Jakub Kivior. Now, we know that he came in, Polish defender, 23 years of age. We know he came in January for a decent fee. He's played in different competitions. We haven't seen him too much in an Arsenal shirt in terms of the Premier League. Got his first start, I think, in the Premier League for them. A couple of questions, Rob. Mm. I guess the first question is, why is it taking this amount of time for Mikel Arteta to try him, to trust him? I get the Rob Holding thing at the start. You know, when Saliba was first injured, you go with the experience of Rob Holding. And second question, Rob, is how good is he? And is he now going to stay on the side as you take your drink?
Yeah, I take a swig before I go. Well, I'm assuming in Mikel Arteta has, I mean, he's played a couple of Europa League games, I think he's been involved, Rob. He's looked okay. I just wonder if in the intensity of the Premier League race and the demands and the spotlight that's on, would it have been a little bit unfair if he'd have come in this team where, you know, form has just dipped a little bit? Obviously, Saliba was a miss and things didn't go well. Would that made it difficult for him down the road?
Yeah. Well, also, Rob, when there was no wiggle room for Arsenal.
Yeah, exactly.
Risk that I guess Arteta probably
thought. I'm wondering, like, you can break a young player, an inexperienced player at that time. It's so much better if things were flying, Rob, and they were going really well and Saliba's out for the thing. You go, go on, in you go. He's confident. Gabriel's playing well. The back four's in shape. We know what we're doing. We're still controlling games. We're not getting hurt too much on transitions. It wasn't that time. And so I sensed there was a bit of maybe not knowing and not trusting, and that sometimes you don't know that till you put people in and find out, which, you know, some can argue Arteta might have done. But I kind of get it, Rob, that at this stage, at that point in the season, it might have been a tough one where you don't want to lose, you know, you want him to come and make steps and you know, the next time he's being, be a bit more confident till eventually he's pushing for first team place.
Mm. You know, I suppose you think of Arsenal now for this title challenge. That's step one done. Step two is Saturday, the hardest step, the hardest step in terms of them winning.
Away at Newcastle.
Away at Newcastle. After that, though, Rob, it's Brighton. We're going to talk Brighton. Forest and Wolves, where... Yeah. And the Brighton game is at home. It's at the Emirates. So they're kind of winnable games. So I feel like, and I'm in the studio again this weekend, that this is such a big game for Arsenal. Yeah. You know, if they go there and they don't match the physicality, they don't meet fire with fire, they potentially, and you know, we did both do the same things, Rob. You're going through the thoughts and your notes going into the weekend. Mm. And my kind of a strong thought is that Newcastle could outpower them. Could outpower them with their intensity, with the atmosphere at St. James's Park, with the physicality they've got in different areas. Mm. I feel that will be Arsenal's biggest test, is to try and stand up to Newcastle's power, pace and power.
Could I argue then? Could I chuck in to rage you? Could Arsenal out-football them? If Arsenal get in their groove... And we saw a little bit of it at Chelsea, and there was sense of, you know, front players looking sharp and threat. Could they out-football them, Rob, with their control?
Well, my notes are here, and I think I've got that their football's got to be perfect.
Yeah.
Their football's got to be perfect.
Yeah.
And even if this gets as perfect as they can make it, Newcastle still will be ready for it. I think it's a really difficult game. Anyway, we don't want to preview too much of that one going forward, but that's a massive game. Mm. We should swing it across, Rob, if you're ready, in Chelsea and the disappointment. Frank Lampard now, what is that, 7 out of 7 losses? 6 out of 6 losses?
6,
all our listeners and viewers know what's gone on at Chelsea, Todd Bowley and the ownership and the money spent and all these players coming in and having to make the dressing room bigger because there's 30 players that couldn't fit in there. Okay. Different sessions going on at the same time because there's so many players to try and coach. Trust in the youth players, the money spent on young players, the future of the club. They're trying to build something great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, dear me, without kind of going on about it too much, Rob, how disappointing.
Well,
is this, we get to a point now, is it unacceptable?
Yeah, I think we are. 12th in the league, Rob, 30 goals, 39 points, the same as Bournemouth. Sixth ranked team in London. Okay, Spurs and Arsenal, you might expect. Mm. You know, Brentford, wow. Palace and Fulham. I mean, yeah, unacceptable, mate. And I want to go into a bit of detail on a couple of things, a couple of players, but I want to go big picture again. And we talked about, you know, the Frank situation and him coming in. Does Frank's caretaker role? I kind of felt for Frank at halftime in the game when he's trying to at least just put up a little bit of an argument for what's happened and why it isn't happening, Rob. But I almost feel like his position is a position of weakness. He's not in a position of strength. The results are going. Players don't care. Obviously, players don't care, Rob. Players have no fear. Mm. Players don't want to run, make long runs. The amount of 3 or 4 yard passes to pass to someone, to pass it back, to pass to someone, nobody wants to run. Nobody wants to hurt themselves. No one wants to dig deep and put in a performance role. It almost makes his position untenable, kind of a bit of a figure of fun. I think these players probably in that dressing room going, who's this guy in charge? And I go back to my point about Pochettino, and I know about the record. But by the time Poch comes into this football club, Rob, it could be absolutely on the floor.
Mm.
It could go from bad to worse. We've got, what, another 5-6 weeks of this before we get to the end of the season?
No, I mean, I think that's a strong argument now, Rob, looking at it. And by the way, you just said, who is this? They should know. They do know who Frank Lampard is, Rob. But I think as a manager, the respect's not there. And listen, this goes against everything, every cell in my body, right? What I'm going to say here. But a player's just sat there, Rob, and like, well, what's the point? We're mid-table. Yeah, we ain't going down.
No accountability, Rob.
There's no accountability. So going back to your point, Rob, in terms of bringing Pochettino, if he is going to be the man, Pochettino, try to persuade him, by the way, to get cracking straight away.
Can I go another route if he's not coming in? Just name him, by the way. Just name him, just to say... This is the guy. So all of a sudden, Pulisic and Ziyech and the guys who at the moment probably couldn't give a damn. And at least they might think, hold on, he's watching now. He's going to be the new guy. I've got at the moment, Rob, it's like, it feels like, well, it's as bad as I've ever known at Chelsea Football Club in the Premier League era. As bad as I've ever known.
We can go back, Rob, and obviously, Graham Potter remaining in charge would have been better than this.
Would have been better. Yeah.
And you know, I'm not gonna be. You know, I think when the change came, it was like, wow, I kind of get the change. Like Potter's going nowhere, the football's going nowhere. But I know they're worse now. So it was another mistake by Todd Bowley in making the change to have this kind of floating like. Period of nothingness for those players waiting for the next guy to come in, which they think there's going to be for the summer. So I think, you know, we can hammer every player, right? And I don't like, we can realize that when this season's over and when the next manager comes in, they will look a lot different. They will be better. Mm. Their attitudes will be better. They will be working harder. They will be motivated and organized when the next coach comes in, if it is going to be Pochettino. It's just, this is such a, you know, for Chelsea fans, Rob, I tell you, not just Chelsea fans, but fans of the Premier League in general,
watch these
incredibly expensive and very well-paid players to go through the motions, I've got to say reluctantly,
yeah,
is a terrible look for the sport.
Yeah,
really.
the profession.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, again, I don't want to pick on players. And this is where, you know, I was feeling, I felt for Frank. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, my friend. And it's not to pick on him individually, because there's plenty. There's Sterling, there's Kante.
There's a low. I don't even know.
But the Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang one's interesting, Rob, because before the game, I see he picks him, and Frank had talked a little bit about playing against your former team and all that stuff, and I kind of thought, kind of see where he's going here. Like, there might be a motivation. It might be a day where he wants to score and knee slide and do his bit and, you know, get his anger going. Nothing could have been further from the truth. I think 9 touches it's been reported, and 4 of those from kickoffs, and just he never made runs, Rob. He never looked to secure the ball. He never looked interested. Now, at this point, those players for Frank should be able to go to Todd Bowley and go, Pierre Aubameyang has no future at the club, has no future with anything. Either keep him away, put him with the kids, make him train every day somewhere else, but he's not part of the first team picture. Because while he is, he brings everything else down, Rob. Because what happens is, if I'm a midfield player and I got him up front and he ain't trying a leg and he's not running, it starts to demotivate me, and then that becomes a knock-on effect. So there's got to be a point where you can grab a little bit of authority back in the group and at least get a little bit of their attention, Rob.
Mm. No, I know. And I think it's... I don't disagree, mate. I don't disagree. But there's so many others you could say the same for. He didn't get a kick because his team didn't get a kick. The team didn't put three passes together. But no, of course, it's an important point. He didn't make a lot of runs. I remember a couple of times the touch was off. It was just a shocker. It was a shocker for Chelsea. And, you know... Have I got the next games here? I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking about rock bottom for the club. I mean, is this rock bottom? They got Bournemouth away. Could get beat there. They got Forest at home. I mean, could Forest beat them at home? I mean, Brighton beat them at home.
It's Bournemouth, aren't they? Yeah, we can. I mean, they're the team you right now you'd want to play in the league. Arsenal. They're the team right now you'd want to play in the league.
Yeah.
The spirit of performance defines Acura, and now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all on its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric never could be. It was built with a driver in mind, just like Acura's been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience the electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Doers, mowing season is here with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
All right, mate. Let's move on.
Brighter things.
Yeah.
Manchester City. The next day. So Arsenal go top of the league with the courtesy of the win against a Chelsea team that certainly for 45 minutes didn't turn up. City, Rob, had not all their own way against a West Ham team that were short of Suchet, Rice and Aguirre were ill. Zouma had got a knock against Palace, wasn't fit. So it was a somewhat depleted West Ham team that went three at the back, four across the midfield and three narrow front players. But for 45 minutes, West Ham were well set up, good structure, good organisation, distance were good, tactically letting City have it on the outside. And in the main, Rob, didn't have too many difficult moments. I think the Rodri shot, they hit the ball, Haaland had a sort of half effort from a header. But we're sitting in the game at half-time going, this could be interesting.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think that is probably the best way, you know, with short preparation time to play City is to say, you know, let's stop them picking away through the middle. Let's push it wide. It was Walker on one side. I mean, Grealish had tons of the ball and was good with it, to be fair. But pick your poison, innit? But
Kind of,
that was kind of interesting for us when in the studio. Mm-hmm. Like, well, we kind of like that, and that's working all right. But you did sort of sense it was a matter of time before, even in the wider areas, they're going to do something. You know, it did come from a set piece that was disappointing from West Ham's point of view. You know,
silly foul, in fact, Rob, before the goal. We did a breakdown on our tactics, didn't we, if anyone wants to look at just the you know, small detail that sometimes puts you off. But I've got to go back to Floyd Downs, who I thought played particularly well in the first half. He's a great young kid. But he'll learn a lesson. Jack Grealish is running, you know, 25 yards towards goal. They've got good numbers behind him. And he goes to make a sliding challenge, which Jack's brilliant at, reading, taking the foul, getting the free kick. And all of a sudden from there, Rob, you know, we had the detail of Ogbonna being a little bit deeper. Okay, coming in the far post. And all of a sudden the game's changed on those moments.
Yeah, it was. And as soon as that first goal goes in, then you know it's going to be difficult for West Ham. They are going to try and have a little bit of a go at a certain point. Erling Haaland gets the record-breaking goal, Rob, which is such a signature type of goal for him, the way that the ball turns over in midfield. Jack Grealish, who said afterwards that he said before, thought before, he wanted to be the guy to assist the record-breaking goal, which he did with a lovely little diagonal right into his path there. And I enjoy the things that I enjoy about watching Erling Haaland, Rob, is when he takes off like a flipping 200-meter sprinter with the, you know, and he's all action. I'm like, God, that's what makes him different for me, you know. And people can try and compare him with Alan Shearer and Andy Cole, who's just gone by now in terms of a Premier League goal scoring season. That were brilliant strikers in their own way, but he is different. He is unique, and that power and that speed, and yet the composure and the touch and the finesse to finish it. I thought that was a really nice goal to break the record.
Did you think it was a bit of a different? I've watched it a few times, Rob, and I'm looking back and I'm thinking, I can't think too many times where he's done that dinky over the goalkeeper actually. There's not that many, and he's 35, you know. He's a slider, and he's a power guy, and he's the header. But I'm not sure how many times he can, like, set it and then clip the goalkeeper. I just thought it was another show of the variety and the options and the difference that he brings. Like you say, brilliant runs, you know, he's got great players playing him in. But just the different variety of goals and the execution, Rob, which the other thing that I wrote down with Haaland is, like you say, I don't think there's any comparisons. There's no individual who say, oh, he's a bit like, or he's a bit like. And you might say he's a bit like two or three or four, but I think we're starting to get down there. He's unique. But the other thing, the other two things, Rob, are those finishes are finishes of a little bit somebody more mature, 24, 25, when you've, you know, missed a few, when you've done a few, when he's doing this at 22 years of age.
22, I know.
22 years of age, where you think, you know, in football terms, you always think there's two or three more years of development to come. 20, you know, 25, well, 26, they sort of say is you're starting to peak.
Well, remember Arsene Wenger, Rob, used to say that you don't really know what you've got until the player's 23.
Yeah.
You know, physically, you know, obviously, you know, experience and mentality can shift. Yeah. But in terms of technicality, speed and ability and touch and decision-making and all that kind of stuff, 23. So there's more to come. There's more to come in his tools, his toolbox.
Yeah.
It's going to
maybe
grow even more. And the final thing on it, Rob, before we move on, and you were more of a goal scorer than I was, of course, but I thought it was interesting when he said, as I'm going through, he noticed the ball's hopping a little bit right in the last split second, and that decided the way that he was going to clip the ball and chip it.
Yeah,
because the ball was, I just thought, well, he's running through it flat out, and he's still the game slows down that much. It goes slow motion where he sees the ball just raise up a little bit and changes how he's going to finish it. Well, I just thought that was
that's a brilliant insight. And listen, I was more of an instinctive headers, you know, things would drop and get my goals. What he does and what the very best do, and Shearer's up there and Henry and all those qualities and Fowler's and that, is that I always explain to Rob is like, every goal is like a mathematical equation that you've got to work out. Where have you got to be? What's the touch? How's the finish? Have you got the composure sometimes? Have you got the feel? Is it hard finish? Is it soft finish? And those are things that go on in your head. And often when you're not scoring goals, Rob, you have a period of like 6-7 where you're not getting goals. You're not working out the sum quick enough. You don't make up your mind quick enough what you've got to do. And you sometimes dither and the opportunity goes. Or you take a touch and somebody smothers.
Your calculation comes
up. Yeah, it's like a calculation. And it's done in a nanosecond. And where people like him are, is, and I said it on the show, they're like Einstein. The equation comes and he goes, at pace, I've got to slow down, I'm going to hit it over the goalkeeper, and I'm going to use my left foot. And all that happens
in a split second,
all that happens in his head. Mm. And that's what he does it. Because I always say, Robert, it's a point that when I started coaching, I used to say, sometimes it's not that you miss, it's how you miss. If you make all those right choices and you just don't get the right contact, that's not a bad thing, by the way. Let's work on your technique, you'll get there. But if you're making those bad decisions in your head, that's when you need to announce. And he's at the top of the tree. Absolute genius in terms of that understanding. We've talked about him pulling off on the far post, knowing where to be. His one-touch finishes in the box. All that is pre-thinking ahead, what might happen? What if?
Well, what if he scores more goals, Rob? And I guess like we're going to run.
We've got five more in five more games. What's your over and under?
Well, it's got to be 40, isn't it? It's got to be 40.
He'll get more than five, mate. If he gets on a run, he might get five on Saturday against Leeds. I know Big Sam's had his words, and we'll talk about it. He'll be looking for seven or eight more goals, mate, in five games. If he plays five games, he's looking for seven or eight more goals in that team.
So the last record to break will be Dixie Dean, 60 goals in a top flight season back in 1927.
He's 51 now, isn't he? 51.
Well, no, this is league. This is league. It's 63 all comps.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know how many games they're playing, Rob. There might have been 35 teams, and I don't even know how many games they play.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, but
1927, 28, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's almost 100 years, mate. We're almost at 100 years. Anyway, well done, Erling Haaland.
Just before we move on, mate, as well, it's a well done. I just want to give a well done to Manchester City. 1,000 goals, Robbie Musto, under Pep Guardiola, to 2016. I mean, it's an incredible number. And I just got some data and fact for you. At least six goals or more on 20 occasions. At least five goals or more on plus 50 occasions. And at least four goals or more on 100 occasions, mate.
Very good data.
Incredible. And apparently started with Sergio Aguero, 2016. 1,000th with Erling Haaland.
Yeah. It's remarkable. Both the goals scored and the points gained with Pep at this club has been, you know...
I think it's every season he's been in the Premier League, he's been top Premier League goal scorer.
Has he?
Goal scorers.
Yeah, they gave him 90-some points again. Yeah. I mean, it's remarkable.
Doers, mowing season is here with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Okay, next game we're going to talk about, Robbie Earle, is Liverpool. Liverpool played Fulham.
Yeah.
1-0 was the score. It was a penalty from Mo Salah in the 39th minute.
Yeah.
There were some changes made. I think we saw that in most games, Rob, midweek games.
With
so many teams that were changing the side a little bit. I mean, now Jurgen Klopp's got really nice options in terms of attacking players. Jota was rested. Diaz continued on the left-hand side. Nunez started up front and earned, I guess, the penalty. It wasn't a ton of contact, but enough contact. It's a Diop, wasn't it, on the for the penalty?
Made a foul,
Yeah, and Mo Salah does what he does quite a lot. He's put it right down the middle with pace.
Yeah,
they're going along very nicely, Rob, Liverpool.
Yeah,
with the changes they've made with Trent's moving to midfield, which you know, some people sort of ask me questions on social media and stuff. Like, why didn't they do it earlier? Why is it taking?
Man of the match again here, Trent, by all accounts.
Wise with 6 assists in 5. You're getting the best out of him, and you're focusing the team or other players in the team to defend right back as well. So it's not just him. Yeah. It's, in this case, it's Ibrahim Konate if he plays. You're basically, you know, when we're in possession and for transition, you've got to worry about the right side. And that wasn't the case before because that's Trent's side, even when he got forward. So I think it's interesting. I'm not saying that they're anywhere near where they want to be for Jurgen Klopp yet. This wasn't a great performance from Liverpool. The bits I scored again. I think it's the time when games going on at the same time.
Yeah, it's hard
on Wednesday. But no, they're finding their feet, Rob, and finishing strong is exactly what the manager wants. After himself getting into, you know, some hot water with his behaviour.
Yeah.
We will.
Interesting, mate. So a couple of things. I want to give a tip of the hat to Marco Silva, my friend, who before the game, 6th, 10th in the league.
Yeah.
William was back. He'd had a hamstring injury and got pulled out of the warm-up game before, but came back into the team. There's no Tim Ream. There's no Pereira. They're both out for the season. There's no Mitrovic, obviously, with his ban. Yeah, Rob, this team was still competitive. Lukic came into midfield. He's got Vinicius up top. Wilson on one side, and I think it's Dico De Vrij on the other. They still gave Liverpool problems, Rob. 1-0, I think Alisson had to come out with a couple of good saves. He makes a great one from Vinicius late on when he comes out and he does that big hand and that. And there's a little bit more depth and there's a little bit more quality to Fulham than maybe we give credit. And I think it's always, you know, Fulham teams like, you know, their best 11 maybe can hold their own, but outside of that. But with those kind of injuries and key players and important players, we just deserve a bit of credit, Marco Silva. Then there's absolutely no problem in relegation all season. Yeah. Got themselves in a great place. And I remember the first game of the season, Rob, because this was the reverse fixtures, wasn't it, this week for games. When Fulham drew 2-2 with Liverpool, and Liverpool were a little bit lucky. Fulham played really well that day in the first game of the season. And, you know, I thought, oh, that's a bit different for Fulham. They look really competitive. And to be fair to them, they've continued that through the season. Had a little spell after the World Cup there. Maybe not won so many games, but are in a good spot, Rob. And I just thought he deserves a little bit of credit, Marco Silva. You know, there's times when if they lost Mitrovic, that would be, you know, that would be the end of their hopes, maybe under Scotty Parker and people like that. But Marco Silva's toiled along and got on with these players and done particularly well. My second point, mate, just on this one, and it was more just a general chat and a conversation that come up. So I did a little bit of research, Darwin Nunez, who won the penalty. And I think you'd told me the line, but the line that Klopp had come out with, if you want to play in his line, is about you've got to be good at the counter press, which was a great example of Nunez rushing down on Diop. And then it was thrown back. So there was a couple of reports thrown back to the weekend, and it passed me a little bit. And I don't know if you saw it, but when Nunez came on as a sub, Klopp had sort of got him ready at the side, and Thiago came down and was sort of giving him a bit of a G up. And at one point, apparently, Klopp looks at Thiago as they say, what you're doing. And he looks at Nunez. Went on, didn't have that much influence on the game. And there's a bit of talk as though he might have fell out a little bit of love with Klopp. And, you know, they talk about Klopp said he needs to learn English.
He needs to learn English.
I can't have translators. I can't have 4 or 5 translators on the pitch telling him what to do. And it just made me think a little bit about this young guy who's coming to English football, Rob, good reputation. I think we've all seen him in the Champions League and what he could do. He got a foolish sending off early in his career, didn't he, against Palace, against Anderson, got caught with his head. Missed 3 games, lost a bit of form maybe. I think his nickname's Captain Chaos because of the speed and the intensity with he plays. I just think Liverpool, to me, working from the outside, have got a really good asset there. And sometimes maybe it might need a little bit of just getting him on side and bringing him into the club and understanding what's required at a club like Liverpool. I'm not sure with the hard shoulders always where he's got 9 Premier League goals. And I think at his best, he's in Liverpool's best front three.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. But I'll follow on that story, Rob, because I read a piece, was it today or yesterday? It might have been this morning, sort of saying that it probably was yesterday morning actually, that if he isn't, if he doesn't seem a good fit.
Yeah, so, I read the same piece. Yeah, that's
right.
Because I thought, really?
Yeah, and I thought really as well. Hmm. But when you know the financial situation of the football club and the manager needing to spend money in different areas, we know they're doing really well in the front areas of the side. Now, yeah. I wouldn't want to see that because I think he could go on runs and score tons of goals.
Yeah.
Really like him. But I get the sense that Jurgen Klopp really likes Cody Gakpo, Rob. Yeah. I think he really likes him. Because
they're very different.
But yeah. He's a consistent, he's a reliable type of player. Can play wide, can play through the middle. I like the bit of chaos that Nunez brings, Rob. I love his pace. Mm. He always gets chances. One of those players that plays, something happens, and I like that sort of player. That he's going to get chances. He's going to blow him. He's going to hit him off his shin. He's going to miss a few, but he gets into situations a lot. So I hope, as this piece suggested, I hope we see that because I want to see more of him. I want to see more of him. You know, that's one area of the field that Liverpool can say, okay, Summer, we're good. We're really, really good at there.
Yeah.
It's the midfield area.
Correct.
And a player which we'll get onto the next game that will be perfect for Liverpool. But no, well done, Liverpool. Well done, Jurgen Klopp. Finding a way to try and get it. But there's still a ways off being groomed.
Yeah, there's work to be done in this new system.
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay, my friend, let's take it to the Amex. FA Cup semi-finalists, Manchester United getting it over Brighton in penalties on that one. Brighton winning this one on penalties. McAllister late on after Luke Shaw ball hits his hand and penalty was given. I thought it was an interesting game. I thought 0-0, it was a really interesting game. Brighton, confident, possession, build-up play, Rob, like understanding. It's an incredible level, considering this is a new manager who's just gone in and taken it to a completely new level to Potter. I thought there was good signs at times for United. I thought they struggled to get the danger men in positions where they could get them hurting the opposition. Saw a little bit of Anthony, didn't see loads of Rashford and Martial at the top end of the pitch. But Brighton get the points, and it was almost like a feel good for football day for Brighton, really. Just how they go about their business, Rob. And like we saw West Ham yesterday at City, and you know, they sit back and it's five, and it's, you know, it takes a lot of hard work and organisation to do that. But Brighton are prepared to do it in a very, very different way.
I couldn't love it anymore, mate. I couldn't love it anymore. And I could literally speak now for 10, 15, 20 minutes on how I enjoyed that game. Just sat on my couch downstairs. I got my notes up. I'm making notes as I'm going along. I just, the way that they play from the centre backs that are side by side, but they're narrow and they're happy to stand on the ball and go to you, to me, back to you. Oh, someone's coming up. Oh, into midfield, back to you. They control the game with the centre-backs. Both of them very, very comfortable on the ball.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to bore everybody with the technicalities of it, but the movements and the positions of fullbacks is so like, who cares? We're all in. Yeah. We're all in on being able to keep the ball. To keep the ball, you've got to have people in different spots, in different angles, in different depths. They do all that, so they've got the options to play through. To see Brighton, and by the way, it's important to say that Man United, Rob, they had some really great chances to score. There's a vulnerability about Brighton as well. When things don't quite connect,
they're
going to give up. Mm. And that's what they've signed up for, and they're okay with it. United should have scored twice in the first half. Brighton should have scored at least once in the first half as well. So United, I thought, edged the chances. But it's just the football. And the second half, when Brighton can step it up even more.
Even more.
And like Man United, there's seemingly no way that they can control the game and keep the ball against a team that's so grooved in doing it, that's had signed players that are so comfortable on the ball, and a manager come in that's perfect for these players. Mm. We've said it a million times about Brighton, Rob, and it's just so well connected, the club. And this was a performance of, like, I just felt, you know what, if I lived in England right now, I'm driving to Brighton.
Yeah, I'm going to watch the games. Yeah.
I want to watch and play. I'd sit there. I tweeted out, like, the fans, what a lucky bunch of fans they are, Rob, at Brighton right now. Look, they've seen these young, talented players coming through, World Cup winners in midfield, and I'm not saying.
Well, they thought they had it good with Potter, mate. It's good beyond that. Gone with this guy.
Yeah, and the football now with the penetration and the goals, they're similar to Potter, but they're very different, mate, aren't they? Oh, they are very, very different. Yeah, very different.
Absolutely.
And it's all down to Roberto De Zerbi. And, you know, maybe his fiery nature, Rob, is going to put some of the bigger boys off for now.
I'm not sure about that, by the way. I'm not sure about that.
Well,
I think it puts people off Conte.
I think fiery, neutral league. Oh, Potter did it at Brighton as well. I think, and I, by the way, I couldn't be further away from that. If I'm director of football at Spurs, I'm like, let's get him.
I think the evidence of what we see, Rob, the evidence of it, the numbers, the data and fact is your big phrase. When you look at all those things and all the big clubs now, all the directors of football are looking at those things as part of recruitment. He's going to be on a few lists, my friend. And I'm sorry for Brighton fans who had Potter, saw him go, seen De Zerbi now, gone on to better things. But he's going to be in demand, mate. In the next 12 months, some big club is not going to want to miss out on him. Mm-hmm. Some big club's going to push the button.
How could it go wrong? It may be that the club's recruitment is the most important thing, the biggest reason why they're silky. Mm-hmm. You know, when he goes somewhere else, he can't do it the same way. That might happen, I suppose. Yeah. Maybe other clubs want to see a bit more evidence that he can do it on another season as well. And that's all understandable. But, you know, the way that they play the game and to you know, Man United side that play great football too.
Want to get on the ball and do it. To be second best, didn't they? Sit back and say, you have the ball.
Yeah.
I thought the Matoma-Wan-Bissaka was a great little match-up to the game, wasn't it? Wan-Bissaka's very smart, chose him around the one side, didn't he?
Brilliant defender that. I mean, he just is.
And he's wriggling in Matoma, he wriggles in and out. Yeah. I thought Enciso just showed moments, and he's a young kid playing in an important role in the team, but he just shows moments of next
level. He's 19, Buonanotte's 18, Rob. Mm-hmm. He played on the right-hand side, had a few moments again.
Yeah. I think you wanted to talk as well, I don't know if you did, or this was the Alistair McAllister is being rumoured to Liverpool, my friend. And they're talking about James Milner going in the opposite direction, actually. Well, that's maybe part of the move. That was leaked out today.
I mean, in terms of a midfield, I thought he was brilliant today, Rob. I think he's a special player. He's 24. He's a great age. He's experienced. He's just done it with Argentina.
He's Trossard-esque in that he can go to that big club and hold his own, can't he?
He's a special player because he's good on the ball. Mm-hmm. Because he's good on the ball. He keeps the ball. He makes good decisions. He's got a great touch. He would be perfect for any club in the Premier League. If Liverpool can get to him first, then well done. And off you go. Go and do it. Make it happen. Spend the money. Because he's as close to a guaranteed successful midfield player I think you could get. You know, because he's used to the league, he's used to what it's all about, you know, and the manager and Klopp would, I'm sure, you know, would get more out of him possibly. But I thought he was great today. His penalty is brilliant. It's, you know, it's he just pulls it right into the top corner. Alexis McAllister was special, among other players, but he today particularly impressed me. And, you know, the stories about Liverpool being in for him is why not? And I, you know, if they can get him amongst others, I know Chelsea are interested, Rob, as well. I saw today Chelsea, and I think it's one other club interest.
Of course Chelsea are interested in my friend. Of course they are. But yeah, it'd be a great one for Liverpool, and especially the way they want to play and bring Trent into midfield, a midfield player with creativity.
McAllister could go forward then, Rob, couldn't he? Yeah. If you got Fabinho, if it is Fabinho with Trent, then he goes and does this high number eight. It'd be perfect for him,
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Okay, my friend, there's so much to enjoy about the Premier League, so many stories at the top and the bottom. I always feel the Premier League's missing somebody, and then he was back.
Oh, no.
The big man, Sam Allardyce, replaces Javi Gracia as head coach at Leeds. I didn't realise, Rob, actually, that Gracia was told on Monday that he was being sacked, you know, he was being let go, and it was actually his birthday. On Monday. Yeah, I saw a video, Rob, of Gracia, and he looked better than I've seen him look in the last few weeks. He seemed reasonably happy that he's okay. He's lost a job. Him and his kids are going to be wearing Leeds uniforms, so kit till the end of the season, that he's all in for Leeds, and he wishes him all the best. And I actually feel, Rob, as though it's a relief for him. He looked broken. He looked like a man who it was too much for. We saw him on camera a few times. And I actually feel like his life probably is feeling better now. That A, he's not, it's not happening around him, and he's not the man, hopefully, if they do go down, that takes Leeds down.
Yeah, I mean, you said it, Rob, that he looked a little bit broken, and you just said there that maybe the job was too big for him. I'll tell you it's not too big for. It's not too big for big Sam Allardyce. We got a role in the interview, and he was asked about kind of managers now that get a little bit overlooked. Here's his interesting response.
Too many people think that I am old and antiquated, which is so far from the truth. I might be 68 and look old, but there's nobody ahead of me in football terms. Not Pep, not Klopp, not Arteta. So it's all there with me. And I share it with them. They do what they do. I do what I do. But in terms of knowledge and depth of knowledge, I'm up there with them. I'm not saying I'm better than them, but certainly as good as they are.
I'll be honest, you laughed out loud when we heard that in the studio. I think it was important to say that it's not mocking or it's not demeaning. It's just the brave, confident, kind of all in. Sam Allardyce, let me start you off, and you know I love a big Sam, and I love the story, and I love the romance of Cuddy and Canny and all the things, Rob. But the other thing, I tell you the other thing which he's done purposely, and he absolutely 1,000,000% knows what he's done. He's give the papers and everybody like us something to talk about that takes it away from the players and Leeds and what's happening in the form and everything. He's just said, I'm Big Sam, I'm back, I'm as good as Pep and Klopp and Arteta and all the rest of them, and I'm not antiquated. And he's given headlines, and he knows exactly what he's doing. Because then I've seen him, Rob, on the training ground, and I've seen the other side of Sam, where he's working with the players, and he'll be doing the old routines that I talked about, the rope between the back four to get your distances and places. You know, the boards on the perimeter advertising. You know, we get to Barclays, and we hold at Barclays, and we go back to EA Sport, which is a board behind, and we never go back to Geico, because Geico's too deep. And he'll have positions that, honestly, as players, if you're not sure where you're going to be, if you're unsure of where you push up, you've got it in your mind. All little reminders that are Sam's ways. But the biggest thing I saw, Robert, during the training was he was laughing and joking with the players. He was being Sam. He was connecting. He was lightening the mood. He was taking some of the gloom and the frustrations, and I can imagine what's going on in that Leeds dressing room where it's going from bad to worse. That's what Sam brings. That's where Sam has a chance, and that's where he's saying that Pep might have the formulas and the way of playing systems. He's got his little kind of Sam button that he can push that gets players doing it for him in his way.
No, and he's done it. He's done it in many clubs, so he's improved them. We showed a graphic on our air the other day where, you know, they might have been 17th to 15th or 19th to 17th, you know, just enough to get them out of it. All I would say to all of that, Rob, and I absolutely respect what he's done and what he could do. It's a very short period of time. True. But more importantly, who the heck is he going to play defensively? Because I don't see enough defenders. He's going to have to play with a back five. He'll put five in front. Maybe bring Pascal Skriniar. Any fit defender right now? Max Verber, I believe, is okay now.
If he's fit, anybody back there,
he's going to want to bring in.
He'll get somebody in front of him as well who's doing a better job than either McKennie or Rocker, by the way. He might play centre back in there.
Well, they ain't got many centre backs. That's what I'm saying. I don't know where he's going to. He's got a really. Find maybe there's a young lad, you know, some he's got to find some defensively strong, sturdy guys that can listen to instruction.
Let me ask you the bigger question then, because I think he will do something and I think he'll have worked, but there's not that much work you can do between now and Saturday, and there's not many things you can change. You can, a couple of little bits and pieces and mentality, which is, I think, is where he's going to go. But just in terms of Rob, where they were, are they better off now than they were?
Exactly.
And that's my point. There's a better chance of them staying up than there was.
And that's why I didn't disagree with the firing and the appointment. I didn't disagree with it. I think it is a better chance now. And reason being as well is that maybe the difficult bits, they've got the quick counter-attacking guys, Rob.
They can score,
They can absolutely score. So it's just getting the other side of it. And he will drill, he will play deep, but he will allow... I don't know, Sinisterra or Nyoto or wherever it is. Jack Harrison, particularly, he might play Jack back as a wing back. I don't know, but he's got players who can spring. Rodrigo, they can score.
But
he's just got to keep the. It's just the game's hard. The game's really.
Do you know what? I looked at the game. So it's Man City away the weekend. It's home to Newcastle. It's away at West Ham, and then it's home to Spurs. Last game, Robbie Musson. You know what I'm thinking. If you could give Sam home to Spurs, we need to win to stay up. It'd take your arm off tomorrow. By the way, they'd have a chance of beating Spurs last day of the season.
They would. But he's got
Ellen Road with that place buzzing. If he can somehow get them to the last day with a chance to win to stay up, there's your money. There's where Big Sam earns his £2.5-3 million or whatever, $4-5 million.
Get that situation to win and stay up. They're going to have to find other points.
That's where they find a way. Between Man City, Newcastle, West Ham. West Ham away is somewhere where he can go and win. And they've got to maybe pick a draw up.
He gets a point there. If he loses the first two, gets a point there and wins the last one. 34 points. I believe that their goal difference is a bit better.
Because they score goals, aren't they?
So that could be the way that they scrape, that they stay in the Premier League. But it's going to be fascinating. Of a season that's been so dramatic and so many different managers. I mean, it wouldn't be the same without Big Sam at the end. And it's going to be a fun ride.
Absolutely. Always a fun ride of Big Sam. Listen, mate, we're going to wrap it up on a midweek that saw Arsenal go to the top table on Tuesday, only for Man City to grab top spot back on Wednesday on an historic night in Manchester when Erling Haaland became the Premier League's record goal scorer in a single season with an incredible 35 Premier League goals and counting. We'll be back after Charles' coronation. That's on Sunday the 7th when we'll look back at match week 35 and see if King Sam can back up his big statements and grab three big points against Manchester City. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty. Together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe. Stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
Good night.
Doers, mowing season is here. With Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, you can get gas-like power with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower for just $329. With a runtime of nearly an hour, it's the perfect mower to tackle your half-acre lawn without a trip to the gas station. Just push and mow. Your grass won't wait, so buy it online and pick it up in-store to get out there sooner. Get gas-like power this spring with the Ryobi 40-volt push mower just $329 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.